This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Our beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever we begin with the praise, the thanks of Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى The one and the only, the unique To Him, we put all our dependency and we submit to Him And we send our love and our greetings and our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. May Allah grant us to live upon the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to die upon Islam and Iman, and to be resurrected amongst the Anbiya and the Shuhada and the Salihin, and grant us to enter Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We continue with our series on Dawah, and we spent the last couple of weeks talking about what our religion is all about, in a very simplistic form. And I hope that is perhaps the most important point to take from this entire series, that if you were to be asked by anybody, what is your religion all about? Very simplistically, we say that this religion is all about worshipping the Creator alone. And every single person having a unique one-on-one relationship with that Creator, without any intermediaries, without any intercessors, without any in-betweens. You, no matter how sinful you are, no matter how insignificant you might feel, every single person, man or woman, young or old, rich or poor, you raise your hands and directly to the Lord of the Alameen you can speak to, and the Lord of the Alameen listens and responds. So that is what Islam is all about. And that we have La ilaha illallah, that there is none ilah, none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's all our religion is about, essentially. Everything else is attached to this. We then spoke about the other faiths of the world, the concept of Godhood, the concept of the purpose of life, and we saw the difference between our religion and their religions. And I hope, inshallah, while we respect all religions, Allah says, لا إكراه في الدين, that there is no compulsion in religion. Everyone has been given, from the day we were created, Allah had given us this unique ability or this unique choice, the opportunity to choose whether you submit or not to submit. We said everything in creation submits to Allah by default. They don't have a choice. They follow the command as Allah had decreed. But you and I, we must make a choice. Do you choose to submit or not? And if you submit, well, alhamdulillah, you're a Muslim. That's what submission is all about. And so this choice you must make, your kids must make, No one can make that for you. No one can force it upon anyone else. And then we said it's our duty to call others to make this right choice, to call others to this path of Islam, because we want success for our fellow man as we want for ourselves. And this series about da'wah, as I mentioned, it's not about superiority. It's not about being better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows who are the best of people. But we genuinely want well and goodness for all of mankind. And we want everyone to have that unique relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke about the other religions and for our understanding, because when you give da'wah, next time you meet a person that's a Hindu, you meet a person that's a Sikh, you meet a person that's a Christian, you can kind of understand what it is that they believe. And if the topic comes up, alhamdulillah, you have something to talk about. Now we talk a little bit about the art of da'wah. So you learnt what Islam, what is it that you are trying to call towards? You're calling towards La ilaha illallah. You're calling away from shirk. You're calling away from idolatry. That's what you are doing. But how do you do it? And this, subhanAllah, is perhaps the most difficult job that there is possibly on earth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the best of all people to do this job, the Anbiya. This is the job of the Anbiya, to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope if you were to open Surah Hud, for example, Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a list of Anbiya. And you'll see the line begins the same. And to Ad we send Hud, and to Thamud we send Salih. And every time it begins, "Oh my people, I call you to La ilaha illallah." The same message is repeated over and over and over. So all the Anbiya, they have one job. They have the exact same job. And of course, this is the most difficult job. The job that brings about a lot of hardship. The job that requires a lot of patience, perseverance. But this is the job of the Anbiya. And whoever follows that, and it's our duty as Muslims to follow in that footsteps, it is the most rewarding thing as well. One of the ways in which, before we give da'wah, we said the beginning of da'wah is a sincere niyyah to want well for others. And there are some of us, subhanAllah, we don't want to talk about religion. We said, we're in this politically correct world where we don't talk about religion and we don't want to highlight the differences between what we believe, what you believe. You know, everyone is okay so long as you're a good person. That's not technically wanting well for someone else. If you believe that somebody is invoking a deity that is not helping them, it's not benefiting them, it's not curing their sick, why would you not tell them, "But look, brother, going to this place is not going to help you. That's the place you need to go. The direction you're following is going to lead to a dead end. But this is the way, inshallah." If you were not to express that, then there's something we don't love for our fellow man. It's basically we are too shy or maybe cowardice to actually raise what is right and what is correct. But you cannot give da'wah as an outsider. You need to be part of the society and you need to be part of the community. And people should know you to be someone, "You mean well for me in everything. This person, he means well for me at work. He means well for me with family. He's a good person. And so when you speak about Islam or you speak about religion, surely he means well in that as good." You can't be a person that is causing harm in the dunya and then you want to give da'wah. I said, "I don't trust you." And that's what Allah says in the Quran, "وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ." We did not send a single Nabi, إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ, except that he spoke the language of his people. That he was amongst his people. He was from amongst them. He wasn't an outsider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send an outsider, a foreigner, to come to a people and then he gave da'wah to them. No. He chose someone from their community. Someone who they knew. Someone who they trusted. In fact, someone who they loved. Someone who already has a track record of being a good person, that people admired. That parents said, "Why can't you be like him? He's a good child." And when he grew up, then when they reached that level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then inspired them to give da'wah. لِيُبَيِّن لَهُمْ فَيُدِدُ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah says, and he gives guidance to whom he wills, and he removes guidance from his will. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he's almighty and he's wise in what he does. In Surah Hud, Allah says, "Qalu," the people said to Nabi Salih. Nabi Salih went to the people of Thamud. Look at what the people of Nabi Salih, when he started preaching, he started to give da'wah, when he became an imam, when he became a Nabi, the people said, "Qalu ya Salih, O Salih, qad kunta fina marjuwan qabla hadha." Before you came up with this new religion, and you came to call us to this oneness, one God, and not worshipping our idols, you were marju induna. We had a lot of hope in you. You were one of our promising young men. You were one of the rising stars in our community. Everybody was looking up to you with hope. You're going to be our leader. But now, the point of the ayah is, look at the Anbiya before they gave da'wah. They had a track record of goodness. You don't have to be a religious person. You don't even have to believe in anything to be a decent human being. You can be an atheist and be a decent human being. And therefore, more so, a person who has iman should not only be a decent human being, you should be even more than that. But if you're not even a decent human being, then your da'wah is hollow. If you're cheating people, you're rude, you don't give a the way you drive in the traffic, the way you treat your co-workers and your family members, if you don't have that basic akhlaq that every human being knows, then you can't be propagating to anything, because then you're not upon anything really. And so the first thing that Allah is reminding you, that if you want to give da'wah, and remember, we don't have a choice, we are ambassadors, whether we like it or not, then you need to uphold the highest level of conduct. You and I, we cannot just go with the flow and do whatever we want. We need to have an extra level of conduct. And that's this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was exactly what Allah had given him. Allah's, one of the greatest gifts Allah had given the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his exemplary conduct. Nobody could point the finger at him and said, you're a liar, you've cheated someone, you were rude, you were harsh, you spoke ill. You read the seerah, subhanAllah. There's no person in history whose life is more documented than the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Find in there him being vulgar, making a rude joke, cheating somebody. You won't find it, subhanAllah. His entire life, even how he used the toilet, is documented. But you won't find in there any immorality, any evil conduct. And so, subhanAllah, if we want to call to Islam, and we want people to acknowledge our faith, our akhlaq, and how we conduct ourselves in our business and in our shopping, and how we deal with people on a human basis, will be the first thing that they look at. And so if we look at the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we talk about some examples of his da'wah, how did he do it? If you look at his first public sermon, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was about 43 years old when he gave his first public sermon. So for 40 years he's been building up a reputation for himself. As being, and his title was As-Sadiq al-Amin, the man that we trust, the man that tells the truth. That was his title before he became a Nabi. And so when Allah commands him, go and give da'wah to the people, Nabi SAW, as we know, he climbs Mount Safa, Safa and Marwa. Safa was is a hill. He climbs on Mount Safa, and that's in downtown central Makkah. Everybody is walking around the Kaaba, and he starts calling them. We all know the story. And he calls people by name. Oh, Banu this. Oh, Ahmad, oh, Salih. He calls people so that they shows also he knew who the people were. He engaged with the people. He interacted with them. He had a relationship with them. And he calls them by name one by one. And so they come and look and why are you calling us? You know, what is happening? So imagine, I give an analogy. You know, someone that you know, someone that we trust in our community to be a trustworthy person. He stands on the table in the middle of the Canal Walk food court. And he says, hey, put us so-and-so and Fatima. And so everyone's saying, what's going on? Obviously, you're going to, you know, leave your shopping and you come and stand around it. Now this is someone that we know and we trust. Someone whenever you need something, you phone him, he gives you good advice. So now he says, if I were to tell you behind me there's an army coming or some danger is coming on its way, I have information something bad is coming, will you believe me? And they all said, yes, subhanAllah, we will trust you. If you're going to warn us, we're going to believe you. And then he says, and then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I'm warning you about a much bigger thing. I'm warning you about a severe torment, about a day of judgment. And he, in another narration, he calls out to each one and he says, take my advice, because I cannot save you. I cannot prevent this calamity for you. And he mentions people by name, meaning he knows the situation. I can't save you and I can't save your children. And he sees his own daughter, Fatima. And he says, oh Fatima, my daughter, even I cannot save you from that calamity that is coming. I can't save you from this catastrophe that's on its way. Even though in the dunya, I'll give you whatever you want. In the dunya, I'll do what I can. You're my beloved daughter. But even I cannot save you. Every man for himself. And so what is this? And just as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was about to explain, so also he sets the stage. I mean, there's a bit of theatrics in this as well. Calling people by name in public, telling them there's an impending calamity coming. So what's happening? People are now anxious. They want to hear. And just as he's about to speak, of course, we know Abu Lahab, you know, he basically shouts out that my nephew is mad. Don't listen to what he's saying. He's talking nonsense and he's cursed and all of that. And automatically the entire scene is disrupted. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed Abu Lahab. The point of this example, we're not asking you to go and stand on Canal Food Court and give da'wah like that. But his position amongst his people, When he spoke, people listened, and he built that up over 40 years of telling the truth. 40 years of being honest. Now, I think of us as a community. There used to be a time, if you were a Muslim and you were an artisan and you were a plumber or an electrician, people trusted you. You'll do a job, you'll do a good job, you're not going to overcharge me, you're not going to steal anything, and we trust, you know, the slum sir, we trust him. I don't know if it's like that anymore. Now, in fact, you say, I don't want, give me anyone except a Muslim. Islam, how we engage and how we live our life, has made Islam look like something, it's not for me. This is not, how would I join a religion like that? Look at the people. Why would I want to join a religion? You will see the religion as the people are the products of the fruit. If the fruit are all rotten, then the tree is rotten. And so subhanAllah, it's a lesson for all of us. Another example of giving dawah from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you should always be on the side, while religion is emotional, and we use emotion to give dawah, Islam is logical. Islam is logical. And you need to give dawah in a logical way. And it needs to appeal to the intellect. And subhanAllah, that's what Islam does. Allah asks many questions in the Quran are rhetorical. Like the atheist, Allah says, so okay, if I'm not the creator, then who created the heavens and the earth? You give me an answer. Many times, we are on the back foot. We get asked the questions, and we struggle to respond, and we have to respond and respond. Rather flip the script, and you ask the question. So you tell me, what is it that you're worshipping? And you tell me, what is it that you believe? And the minute someone starts answering those questions, they would find the inconsistency. Now who said that? Where did that come from? In the middle of the tension between the Quraysh and the Nabi Sallam, the Quraysh sent a well-known man, Hussein. Hussein was a well-known, not Hussein, the grandson of the Nabi Sallam. Hussein was an elderly man. And he tried to bring reconciliation. He said, look, Muhammad, we know he's a good guy, and the people of Makkah, let me go and speak to him. Maybe I can mediate something. And so he comes to the Nabi Sallam, and he starts talking to the Nabi Sallam. And Hussein told the Nabi Sallam, so now Hussein is telling the Nabi Sallam, what is it that we hear from you? You have refused our gods. You have rejected our gods. And you talk against them. You say bad things about them. Whereas your father was an intelligent man and a good guy who was devoted to his ancestors and religion. So now you use an emotional thing. How can you talk against our way of life? You're talking against our forefathers and your own father. So did the Nabi, now the Nabi Sallam, now look at this. He's asked a very controversial question. If you are right, that means your dad is wrong. If your religion is right, that means all our forefathers are wrong. It's a very you can't say, no, my religion is wrong. And you can't say, no, their religion is okay. The Nabi doesn't respond to this emotional concept. The Nabi asks a question in response. He says, before we get to that, Hussein, tell me, what do you worship? He completely said, look, let's put that question aside about my forefathers and your forefathers. I'm just going to ask you a simple question. What is it that you worship? Who do you worship? So Hussein says, well, I worship 8 gods. 7 on earth and 1 in the sama. 7 idols and Allah. Remember the Quraysh worshipped Allah, the creator. So I worship the creator and his 7 idols here on earth. So the Nabi Sallam again asks him, when something really, really bad happens, when you are in severe calamity, when you need something like really desperately, which one of those 8 do you turn to? So he said, well, when things are really tough, I go to the one in the sky. I don't ask these 7 on the earth. And then he says, and when something bad happens to your property, your wealth and all that, who do you turn to? He says, well, then I turn to the one in the sky. I don't turn to these 7 on the earth. And then the Nabi Sallam asked him, even though only one of them answers your dua. So he said, only one of these 8 can answer your dua, right? He says, yes. But why do you then put these 7 with? What's the purpose of these 7? Do you think that you make them, are you trying to make them equal to Allah in praise? Or are you afraid that they can destroy you? Can they do anything to you? And so he said, no, they're not equal to Allah. And they can't harm me. They can't do anything. They're stones. So then Hussein added, then the son Hussein is giving them, and he himself tells the story. He said, it was just at that moment that I have realized I'm talking. This now finally clicked. The light bulb finally clicked. And of course, he then accepted Islam. So a number of points we take from this. You might be put into a very awkward question. Suicide bombing, hijab. Now, why do Muslims do this? What's happening in Saudi Arabia and all that? So look, let's not put those questions. There's a time and place for that. We have a very simple conversation. What do you worship? What do I worship? Let's leave the whole world out of the equation. It's just two guys talking. We all want goodness for ourselves and our family. Ultimately, everybody wants happiness in the dunya.
And in the afterlife, we want happiness. That's what we want for all of mankind. So we ask simple questions. What do you worship? What do you believe? What do I worship? And then you say, which of these make the most logical sense? Which of these is the one that appeals to your fitrah and your heart? Don't get bogged down in controversial topics. There is no answer to those things. There will be no benefit in the end. You know? So, the last example of, so we gave the example of the Nabi Sun giving a speech on Mount Safa. And we said, before you can give da'wah, you must have a track record of being an honest, trustworthy person. And then we said, number two, that if you have the conversation, try to avoid controversial topics. It will just lead to an argumentation. Rather stick to the basics. What is it that I'm calling to? And at the end of the day, subhanAllah, remember, we are not trying to fool. It doesn't matter. What someone believes, doesn't believe, is between them and Allah. If someone believes or doesn't believe, that's between them and Allah. You, and sometimes we get so engrossed in the da'wah, it becomes a debate. It means like, I want to be right. Then the niyyah is wrong. If the da'wah is for you to win the argument, the Facebook post is maulid right or wrong, and it becomes all about that, then it's not about da'wah anymore, it's about ego. And so that's why the conversation is always just, I want what's good for you, you want what's good for me, and we move from there. The last point, an example from the da'wah of Nabi Sallam. Every time, not even the Anbiya, subhanAllah, in fact most of the Anbiya, from a numbers perspective, they weren't very successful, from a numbers perspective. The Nabi said, on the day of Qiyamah, I see Anbiya, they will come with one, two people, and some Anbiya will come with not a single person. Not a single person followed him. These are the best of people. They're not doing anything wrong. But ultimately, the choice, everybody must make that choice. And so the Nabi Sallam had for many, many years, for more than a decade, very little response, very little success with his people, the Quraysh. We know that the 10 years or 13 years in Makkah was, at some point it seemed like it's not going anywhere. And so what the Nabi Sallam would do, and he would look forward to Hajj season, because even before Islam, or before the revelation of the Quran, because of Nabi Ibrahim's legacy in his Hajj period, people from all over Arabia would come for Hajj. Of course, their Hajj was paganism. They would bring their idols with them to Arafah. They would bring their idols with them to the Kaaba. Everyone had their own idols, and they worshipped their idols on Hajj. But it was an opportunity to meet with all these foreigners, with all these other tribes. And so he would go Hajj time, and he would give da'wah to each and every one of them. And of course, the Nabi Sallam, he's strategic. So he had an itinerary. Look, these are there's a big jama'ah. This, you know, 100, 200 people are coming from this area. We're going to prioritize the big names, the big leaders, the big tribal chiefs, and he would make appointments with them and he would give them da'wah. And this would happen and he would invest a lot of time. And I don't know if any of you are in sales. You do a pitch, a presentation, you have hope, and maybe some guys say, oh, I like what you say, come back for another session, and you come back and forth. And then many times, ultimately, it leads to nothing. Or they would ask a request of him that he could not fulfill. They would say, okay, fine, we will accept your religion. But when it comes to this one issue, like zakah, or when it comes to our treaty with this other tribe, then you must relax the sharia. Now, you can't change. You either accept Islam completely or you reject it completely. You can't have 50-50. Allah does not negotiate. Allah does not compromise. The deen is the deen. On the fundamentals of Islam, there is no compromise. For example, one tribe said, okay, we'll accept you as a Nabi, and then you appoint one of us as the successor after you to be the next Nabi. So, nah, that's out of my prerogative. Allah, the Prophet said, I can't do that. That's Allah's decision. These things I can't compromise on. So, after one of these sessions, he's been through Hajj with all the tribes, and not much success. And he must have felt like any person, despondent, dejected, thinking, what do I do now? And he comes apart, he just walks on his way through Mina, and he hears six people talking. Six little group of people, they're sitting and they're talking. And over years, and he goes to them, and Nabi says, may I speak to you guys? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr is with him. May I speak to the six of you? And these six people, he asks, Nabi says, where are you guys from? So they said, we are from the tribe of Khazraj in Yathrib. Yathrib is Medina. So Nabi says, from that city. Medina was a tiny, tiny city. Like maybe in our context, you're on the parade here, in the New Year's, whatever, and you meet five people and said, where are you from? No, we're from Beaufort West or something. Oh, okay. And you're like, oh, okay. I heard the name. I'm not too familiar, but okay. So the Nabi says, can I talk to you about my religion and this issue about Islam. Now they heard about the Nabi Sallam before. They heard, oh, there's a prophet, there's some religion in Makkah, something strange was news. So they were quite keen. Okay, let's listen. And the Nabi Sallam gave them the same pitch, the same da'wah as he gave the kings and the big shots. He didn't know who these six people were. Were they rich? Were they poor? Were they big chiefs and small guys? But he gave them the same attention. Allah doesn't look, subhanAllah, Allah in fact says in the Quran, don't take your eyes, Allah says to the Nabi Sallam, don't overlook the people who worship Allah in the morning and the night, even though they are slaves, poor people, for the big shots. Now, it's just human nature that if we can get a CEO or a president to accept Islam, wow, Allah says, what difference does it make if the CEO or the janitor, the heart is the heart to Allah. These things mean nothing to Allah. So the Nabi Sallam gave that same da'wah to these unknown people like he gave to the kings. And these six people listened and their eyes got big. Why? Because they've heard this before. This was not brand new to them. The people of Medina, what made them different was that they lived amongst Jews. They were Jews in Medina, the only city or one of the only places in all of Arabia. Makkah didn't have Jews. The other parts, Riyadh, those cities that Najd didn't have Jews. Medina had Jews. And the Jews of Medina told the Arabs, watch out, our final prophet is coming. And he's going to be like this and he's going to be like that. And when he comes, he will rule the world and he's going to punish you Arabs. And God speaks to him and there are angels and there's a last day and there's a Qiyamah and all these things. So when the Nabi is talking to them, they said, hey, we heard this before. We grew up hearing these things. The stories of Musa and Nuh and all of these things we heard before. So they looked at all the things that the Yahud told them our Nabi will be with, and you tick all the boxes. And so immediately they said, this is the guy that we've been waiting for. And so we know that six went back to Medina and they told their community. And the next year, 12 people came. And they came back the following year, 70 people came. And within no time, Medina had embraced Islam. Makkah had not accepted, but Medina embraced Islam without the Nabi setting a foot in Medina. Point is, Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءُ. Allah guides whom He wills. Allah gives success and victory to whom He wills. You and I cannot force Allah's blessings. We cannot bring anything except by Allah's will. All we can do is plant the seed. And you don't know which seed is going to sprout into a tree. And you don't know which effort Allah is going to accept and which one is just you make the effort. The Nabi Sallam did not expect on that day when he had his list of people I'm going to give da'wah to that he would meet his solution just by the way, by chance. And this we take from life only. It's not only in da'wah, in business, in risk, in everything. You do the effort, yes, you must go out. But then subhanAllah, Allah opens a door where you cannot imagine. And so, inshallah, we continue next week about the art of da'wah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to be steadfast on our Islam and our Iman, to grant us to live as Muslimin and die upon Islam, and to be resurrected amongst the Anbiya and into general Firdaus. Ameen. A few announcements. There's a Bukab tree planting project, and public participation is required. That's 3rd of June, that's tomorrow, at 2:30, and it will be at Buranul House, inshallah. We also, for the Qurban, for those who would like to Qurban or Aqiqah, we will be doing our Qurban program, of course, for Eid al-Adha. It's 3,000 rand per sheep, and you can speak to Abu Talib at the back to register. And then lastly, there's a life skills program that will be hosted from the 5th to the 7th of June in the Bukab Civic, from 8 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is for youth that are unemployed and students that are taking a gap year. And so it looks at skills to help help them get a better footing, inshallah, so that they can get jobs. May Allah grant all of us halal sustenance, and may Allah grant all our needs to be met. Ameen. Shukran so much. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa ala sahbihi sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.